Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the many things that you do for us. Sometimes we are so selfish and so focused on ourselves that we don't even realize the little things that you do. We are always sometimes thinking of all the big things. We're looking for the big miracles. But just what Glenn spoke about on Sunday is just being thankful. That has been something that has been brought back to me over and over, about trying to find you in the little things. And I just ask that whatever is said here today, Lord, that it be your words, not mine. It's all about your spirit in us. It's all about preparation. It's all about revelation. And that only comes by your Holy Spirit. And we ask that he come right now. He affect our hearts and our minds and open us up to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3 today. And what this, the verse that, something that has been, I've been meditating on over, oh, probably about a couple of weeks, is a statement that I heard when I went to, took my mom to church. And the phrase, it was out of Colossians 3, it said, love, bond of perfection. And I thought that was really interesting because bond, glue, I think a super glue, bonding together. And I've just been thinking about that. And so I asked the Lord what he wanted me to share today, and it just, Colossians just kept coming back to me. So we're going to read Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But ye that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. On Sunday, Sue talked about how things are going to be changing this year. We're going to be in a mode of preparation. The first thing that, for us to be ready for that, we have to take action. And that is the one word that really stood out to me in this passage, Colossians 3. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek means to do, to search, look for. That's an active thing we do. We can't just sit there and expect us to kind of sit on our lounge chair and expect God's Spirit to come upon us and bless us. We have to be looking for Him. We have to be seeking Him. We have to be doing those things that God asks us to do, those things we need to get rid of in our life to let Him come in more. So it's an active seeking those things which are above, which are of heaven, and where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Verse 2, another action. Set your affection on things above. When we think of affection in our language, we think of love, good feelings towards another person. But in this scripture, it means your mind. So it's asking us to set our mind on things above. We are to set our mind on the things of heaven, not on what's going on here. Because in this realm, in this physical realm, the enemy will lie to us every single time. If we are looking up at heaven and we're setting our mind to heaven, then we will be able to distinguish the truth from the lies. Just like Sue said just a moment ago, to know counterfeit, you know the real money. To know a counterfeit $20 bill, you know what a real $20 bill looks like. The same thing here. For us to know what is going on here in the lies on the physical realm, then we need to know what is God saying in the heavenly realm. There's always a spiritual battle going on around us. We don't always notice that because we get so caught up in our lives. One of the things I was sharing with Sue over the last week is that with the holidays, I become really weary with all the busyness and the people, and then we were also planning a wedding and just all of that stuff to do. I don't spend as much time with God one-on-one with my Bible. I'm continually talking to Him in my head, you know, praying throughout the day, talking to Him, asking Him questions about what's going on. But I don't set aside the time to sit and just really study. And I can feel that in my bones. I can feel that in my spirit because I get weary and I get tired and I feel I cannot continue. And that's when I get in agreement with the spirits that know me so well, that have been attached to me ever since I was in the womb. And so it's really important that we set our affections on things above, and the only way we're going to be able to know that is by reading this word. The word is going to tell us what God is thinking, what He's feeling, what He wants. Verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Have you ever been around people in your relationships where the relationship just seems kind of dead? Since I have been, over the last couple of years, really seeking God and really pursuing Him, there are people who I have thought were my friends, and I still care and love them, but when we get together, we just don't connect. Our conversations don't seem to flow really well. We seem to sometimes there's like maybe some judgment they're feeling from me because they're not in a right place. It's just not going right. It's kind of like it's a dead relationship. It's stuck. And that's because I'm at a different place and they might not be there. And so if we are seeking heaven and we are setting our mind on heaven, then we are hidden in Christ. And when He is in us, look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, He is. It's current. It's now. It's not like He was our life or someday he will be our life. He is our life right now, this minute. And I know that when I am not experiencing life to its fullest, it's because I am not resting in him. I'm not letting him flow through me. I'm too worried about whatever else is going on in my life and hooking on to offenses that I feel have been made towards me, or when I don't think someone is doing something that they should do. Looking at the physical realm rather than what is God really saying about another person or another situation. The other thing is, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, when we are resting in him, he can flow through us, so he appears through us, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When we truly let Christ live through us, then we are open, we are vulnerable, we are transparent. And when we are living that way, then guess who can be seen in us? Christ. People will experience the love of Christ. This year, one of the things I have really been, God just gave me kind of like, this is what your path will be this year. So I think on January 1st, I asked God, my heart's desire is to be able to love even in the face of adversity, even when people are not being nice to me. Someone said that, you're such a great encourager. You're so good about encouraging people. And the Lord spoke to me about that and said, yes, you are, but it's only really those people that you care about, that you love. If someone is not being very nice to you or offending you, then you don't seem to have an encouraging word. And that is very true. I don't. And so that's why my desire for this year is that I'm able to love no matter what's happening. Because there are times coming that are going to be really difficult. And I want to be able to stand. When all heck is breaking loose on this earth, when people are dying for their faith, I want to be able to stand. And I was that reminds me of an Odyssey. I don't know, Focus on the Family, Adventures in Odyssey. Carson got some for Christmas. And there was one where the girl went back in time, and she's talking to Jezebel. And Jezebel is saying, you need to bow down before Moloch and Asher, and you need to claim them as gods. And this girl, who's from the 20th century, I guess, is saying, no, I won't do it. I won't do it. I'm not supposed to do it. God says no. God says no. And Jezebel, you know who I am? I'm the queen, and I say you need to bow, and if you don't bow, you're going to die. And this little girl, I won't do it. I'm not supposed to do it. I'm thinking, oh, man, if I could have that resolve to be able, no matter what, to just say, no, I'm not going to do that. To not let somebody who hurts me get me to basically deny Christ by my actions. If I'm responding to them in anger or irritation or frustration, then I'm really denying the Savior that lives inside of me, because that's not Christ. That's the spirits that I'm in agreement with, and that's the enemy who I'm allowing to control me. And so we want to be transparent. We want to have his glory, because in him is his glory. Through him is his glory. We cannot have his glory. We cannot let it shine on this earth unless we are relying on him 100%. Look at verse 5. Mortify there your members. Mortify means death, kill. Get rid of. There you go. Another action. So we have to seek the things of heaven. We have to set our mind on the things of heaven. And we have to kill the members, the things that are keeping us bound. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which, let me tell you, what means passion. So evil passions. A longing for especially what is forbidden, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So there's all of these things that we have that we need to get rid of, we need to kill. Now, God doesn't want us to, he doesn't expect us to, once we come to him and say, okay, you can have our life, he's not going to rake us over the coals and remove every single thing in our life right then and right there. it's going to come in layers. And I noticed that he says these first things, and then he goes to verse 7 and he says, in which ye walked sometime when ye lived in them. And then verse 8, he goes into some other spirits, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So we are to continually put ourselves before heaven, allowing God to reveal to us what layer needs to be removed now. See, the layer that he's trying to get rid of me this year is being able to love, not being able to judge people and distance myself from people, but being able to love them. So that's the layer he's working on in me. You need to ask him, what layer are you wanting to get rid of in me this year? Sometime it could be this day. It could be a month. I don't know. He works on everybody individually, and some things might only take a day. Some things might take a lot longer. So it's in layers that he removes things. Verse 9, lie not one to another. That goes back to the vulnerability, the transparency that we as believers need to have one with another. It doesn't mean that with everybody that is in our church, you share intimate details. That's not what it means. But it means that you don't want to be hypocritical, showing people one face and then doing something when you're not around people. You don't want to lie to them. So lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We turn away from that old man. We take him off by relying on Jesus Christ as our Savior, trusting that he's going to get rid of whatever layers we need to get rid of, and being willing to do that. I mean, I'm sure that all of us have been in places in our life where something is revealed to us, but we don't want to do it, so we just pretend like we don't hear it. Or we justify as to why we need to hold on to that. That is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to put off that old man when he reveals that to us, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Renewed in knowledge, renewed in our mind. Remember, because before, we're setting our mind on things in heaven. And it's after the image of him that created. We cannot be in the image of God if we're not putting our mind on things in heaven. There's no way that we're going to be able to live in this physical realm, focus on the physical realm, and be like God. Because God is not in the physical realm unless he's flowing through us. That's the only way he can be here. And so we need to renew our minds continually, and that means getting into the Word on a regular basis. I'm a Word person. I just love the Word. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is in all. There is no favorites. Exactly. None. We are all equal in the eyes of God. Right. Period. And he is to be, there's two things there. Christ is to be everything. He is everything. He's the bee's knees. He's it. Period. And if you claim that he is everything to you, you grab onto him and you hold onto him, no matter what's going on, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you think, see, or feel, if you hold on to him, then he will be in all. Right. That second part of that verse. So he has to be all to you for him to be all to everybody else.
Right.
Verse 12, another action. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. All of those are the fruit of the Spirit, and we cannot get those if we are just tootling along in our life, watching whatever we want, doing whatever we want, and not spending time on heaven's steps, pounding his door for whatever he has for us. There is no way any of that can be part of us. None. The biggest thing here, And I think this is so important for this next year of what's coming, is we need to be able to forgive. Not only the things that happen to us currently, but the things that have happened to us in the past. We need to have that forgiving spirit continually reigning in our hearts, because people are going to hurt us, period. Even those who we think shouldn't hurt us. And we need to, when that happens, we need to run to God. We need to hold on to His robe and just put ourselves in the folds of that robe and just hold on. And we need to cry out to Him. And we need to let Him heal that wound. And then we need to pray for that person. That's one of the hardest things for me to do, is pray for someone who I am really ticked off at. So I think that is one of those little, you know, how you do bullets or you have an outline. My outline is A, it's going to be love in adversity, and then little A, pray for those who hurt you. I think that's what He's going to try and work in me this year. Because if any man have a quarrel against any, we have to forgive. In the Gospels, it says, before you bring your sacrifice to God, before you give Him what you have, you need to, if you remember that you have something against someone or they have something against you, you need to go make that right before God will accept your sacrifice. You cannot have animosity. It doesn't work, because as Christ forgives us, we must also forgive. And we can only get that from Christ. I, of myself, I can't do it. I cannot forgive. That's right. Hanging on the cross, that's what He said. As after people, that is just an amazing thing to think about. Think about your children or even yourself being on that cross, allowing people, first of all, keeping your mouth shut as people are hitting you, spitting on you, whipping you, calling you names, just absolutely torturing you, and doing it all with a meekness and keeping your mouth shut. There is no way I would be able to do that. No way. And if I saw one of my children, if I saw my son being, the mama bear in me would come out and I would probably whip everybody's heads off. And think about Mary. Think about as she was watching that, her own child up there. And what did He say? He was hanging up on the cross, like this little, look at this picture over here. He's hanging up there, His eyes are looking down, and He's saying, Father, forgive them. He's asking God to forgive these people who are horrendously hurting Him. How much more can we? We have to do that. We have to be able to do that. But we can only do it through Him. We can't do it on our own. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on, there you go, another action. It's like we're getting dressed. Okay, we need to put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfection, or perfectness, completeness. So nothing in our life can be complete until we have the bond of love. And I'm thinking of super glue. The relationships in our life, the circumstances, whatever is happening in our life will not be complete or perfect if it isn't put together with the bond of love. And that love is Jesus Christ, allowing Him to work through us. And verse 15, let the peace of God rule your hearts. There's another action. It is a choice. When someone's coming up against me, I have a choice at that moment to let the peace of God rule, govern my heart. That's really hard to do when someone's in your face saying things that are hurtful or doing things that are against you. Or when your heart is being ripped out of you. It's very difficult to let God's peace govern your heart. Because isn't there, Pastor Harvey will be able to, out of the heart, where your heart is, or is there something about a verse? There you go. What's in your heart is going to come out. And if you're letting the peace of God rule your heart, govern your heart, then when people are coming against you or circumstances are not what you think they should be, then God's peace will come out and people will see that. And nothing is a better witness than for people to see how you walk your life. You could talk your life all you want. You could tell people, oh yeah, I'm the best Christian. I'm the top dog. And oh, I go to church all this time and I give this much money and I'm good and I serve and I do all this. But if they don't see you walking it out, your words mean nothing. Nothing. And that is a worse witness. That means we all need to be from Missouri. We need to be able to show people. Show them Jesus. Show by what we do, by our actions. Not just what we say. They have to match. They have to be the same. They cannot be hypocritical. We do not want to be like the Pharisees and have him say, get away from me. I don't want to see you. I don't want to get to heaven and have him spit me out of his mouth. There is no way. That thought just makes me, shudder. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. So as believers, we are one body. Like Sue was talking about, you can't point your finger unless your hand's there. Your hand can't work unless your arm's there, unless your mind. We all work together. We all help each other, and we have to be thankful. That's another thing. And when things are hard, it's difficult to be thankful. You know, when our spouse is coming against us, it's hard to say, oh, thank you for this husband who is really getting on my nerves and who's being really irritable and I just really can't stand him. But thank you for him. Or thank you for my child who is being rebellious and talking back. It's really difficult to be in that place. But how do we get there? We let the peace of God rule our heart. I can be thankful if God's peace is ruling me. 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There you go, another action. It's a choice. Do we let God's word dwell, reside inside of us? And how do we get that? We can only get that if we're hearing it on tape, teachings, we're reading it. We have to get this word in us because this is what is going to change our lives. Yes.
Fully.
Mm-hmm.
Like just busting over with, you know?
In all wisdom.
Right.
The wisdom truly comes from God. Read Proverbs. The first part of Proverbs talks about the book is for wisdom.
And wisdom is the walking out of knowledge.
Wisdom is the walking out of knowledge. And that only comes from God. There you go. You got to walk what you're getting. If you don't have this in you, then you're not going to walk it. And you're not going to be victorious over the stuff that's in your life. You have to have the word in you. You have to allow it. And I've met so many people who will tell me that I'm deceived in my Christian walk, that I'm probably going to hell because I'm not doing things the right way. But yet they will not read their word. They will not read the Bible when I've challenged them to do so. They won't do it. And so this is life. This book right here, not the book itself, but the words, it's life. It's like popcorn. And it keeps going like this. It's like those, you know, the springs with the bubbles. At the light, or think of carbonation. Think of like a bottle of clear carbonated water. Those bubbles are just going like this. It's active. It's moving. And this is what this word does. It moves. It's active. But you cannot have life until you have this in you. You have to feed on it, just like your own physical food. You have to have spiritual food, and this is your spiritual food. What's it for? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The only way we can be able to help a brother or sister when they're on the wrong path, or be able to stand before people and teach what God has given us, is if we have the word in us, which gives us the wisdom that only comes from God. And we are to do everything. Look, it says, grace in your hearts to the Lord, doing everything to him, for him. This teaching, me standing up here teaching, yes, it's for you, but what's it truly for? It's for him. It's for his glory, what he wants to have said. It isn't for me. To tell you the truth, I don't really want to do this. And when Sue said, I think you need to do this, I said, yeah, okay, I'll pray about that. But I know that when she says something to me, I need to take notice. Because And then, guess what happened? The closer I'm getting to this day, guess what? I'm not getting along with my husband. I'm not getting along with my kids. I'm not getting along with my mom. Or I just life is just really stressful. Myself? Nope, wasn't really getting along with myself. That's true. I never thought of it that way. Nope, don't get along with myself. You know, here I'm thinking to myself, I even shared this with Sue. I'm 50 years old, and you'd think I'd learn how to obey by now. And I wasn't. I wasn't obeying. I wasn't really spending time in the Word, and I was just getting overwhelmed. And that, because I wasn't in the Word, I was getting attacked. And I wasn't doing everything unto the Lord. And that's why I was struggling, and I was not getting along with people. Because when I'm letting the peace of God rule my heart, when I'm letting the Word live in me, then I can love others no matter what they're doing. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Not only what we do in word or deed, but what we think as well. Everything we think should be done unto the Lord Jesus. Because we can do things just right. We can say things just right, and we can have evil in our thoughts, and we can have evil in our hearts. So everything, even in the gospel, throughout the New Testament, Pastor Harvey would be able to tell me where, Matthew, it talks about whoever looks upon a woman with lust has committed adultery in their heart. If you hate someone, you're actually murdering them. So it's not just what we say and what we walk out. It is also what we're thinking and what we're feeling in our hearts. The next part of this that goes, it kind of, these are like puzzle pieces. So first we have to seek heaven. We have to set our minds on heaven. And we have to put on, let the peace of God rule. We need to let the Word live in us. We need to put on love as the bond of perfection. And how do we do that? I think the next few verses is key. It's about submission. We need to be able to submit to our authorities, be it our husbands, the wives as our husbands. For husbands, it's God, or your spiritual leaders, the government. That is one of the hardest things to do, is to come underneath the authority of people who you know are not walking with God. But God will honor that.
Right.
He will honor that. And so it talks about that, wives, you need to submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Fitting. So it's not, I'm going to submit to my husband because he's my husband and he said so. It's because God said so, and I'm doing it for God. And what, no matter how my husband treats me, God still sees that. And He will honor that submission. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. If you're bitter towards someone, that does not say you love them. They're not going to feel that love. But again, husbands cannot do that unless they're relying on God, and God will see that. A wife can be a shrew, an absolute shrew, but if that husband loves her, God sees that, and He will honor that for that husband. It's a shrew is just a really naggy, whiny, complaining, self-centered, selfish person. Kind of, yeah, like a chihuahua. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. If you see that obedience is well-pleasing. Now, I don't want to be up here, but Sue said I should. She felt that that's what God was telling her. I could disobey and tell her, no, I'm not going to do it, and find whatever reason. You know, oh, I'm too busy, I've got too many things to do, I just can't do it. Or I could say, okay, Lord, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to trust that You are speaking through her, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to trust that you're going to give me what I need to say. And he will honor that obedience, even if she missed it. She could miss it. But he will still honor that. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. How hard is it to obey someone who, like a boss or even like the government, who we don't think is doing things the right way, who are not pleasing God? And not with eye service. I love that. Not with eye service. Just not with, okay, yeah, I'll just obey. I'll just follow the rules. And just as you're pleasing them, you know, a brown noser. You heard of that term? That might be kind of old. You know, just being a brown noser, doing whatever it takes to keep the boss happy, to say, see me, I'm good. Exactly. And everybody else can see that. And the thing that we don't really know is that the boss also knows that. We just don't think they know that. But in singleness of heart, fearing God, so we do it from our heart. If the peace of God is ruling our heart, then we will want to obey. We will want to do that. Because it's for God. It's not for the man. It's not for us, but it's for God. It's to please him because we love him. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that if that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not about serving man, it's about serving God and doing those things that he asks us to do, even if we don't want to. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. There is no favoritism, partiality, distinction, bias, conditional preference. Everybody on this earth has the exact same opportunity to know Christ as Savior. It's their choice whether they want to take that or not. If they don't make that choice, then they are not going to realize what God has for them, and that's going to be a very, very sad, sad thing. I've really been impressed the last, I don't know, couple of months that God really wants me to read Isaiah. And I was reading Isaiah on December 30th, and it just kind of connected with what Sue talked about on Sunday. Go to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1:1. That's one thing about me is when God sends me someplace, I like follow the path, the 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't boop 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 boop. Maybe he'll change that someday. I don't know, but I just can't take one verse and I have to take it all because I want all of it and see how it all relates. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. What came to me when I read that is the vision of Isaiah. Okay, the book of Isaiah is all about vision, the vision that God gave Isaiah the prophet to give to the people, to Judah, to Israel. And I said, okay, the questions that came to my mind, what made Isaiah worthy of seeing God's vision? And how can we become worthy of seeing the vision he has for us? Write these verses down. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Isaiah was able to have a broken spirit. He was willing to be before God. I wanted to research Isaiah. Okay, what was it about him? Why was he so special? Matthew Henry said that he is a prophet. What a prophet was. A prophet is one that has great intimacy with heaven. That goes back to what we just talked about in Colossians. Seek heaven. Set your mind on heaven. To be a great prophet, as we were talking about on Sunday, you have to have great intimacy with heaven. So Matthew Henry said, a prophet is one that has a great intimacy with heaven and a great interest there. Think of that. Have a great interest. Kind of like you have an interest in a company, you own part of that company. You have a great interest there. And consequently, a commanding authority upon the earth. That is the prophet. We can only get that if we have a broken, contrite spirit, heart, one that we're ready and able to let God mold. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as he of a contrite spirit. When we are broken, he is there. He is close. Nigh means close, near. So that is a promise out of God's word that he will be close to us when we are broken in spirit, when we have been convicted of sin that we think is really horrid. He's going to be there. The words broken, contrite. Broken means to be maimed, crippled, wrecked, crushed, and contrite also means to be crushed. A primitive definition of that was oppressed and afflicted. And I shared, I think, a couple weeks ago or so that one of the, this goes right along with my love in adversity. The verse that I have that kind of goes with that is Isaiah 53:7, I think it is. He was oppressed and he was afflicted and he didn't even open his mouth. So when I'm crushed, when I'm broken, when I'm contrite, I want to be able to keep my mouth shut and not lash back out at people. And when has God really been able to get a hold of you? When has he been really able to push through that stuff that's in our lives and get us to where we are open to hearing what he has to say? And I know for me, it's when I've been totally and utterly crushed by some event, such as the death of a loved one or a hurt that was caused by a person that deeply wounded me, to where I was just physically or emotionally numb, just kind of walking through life, not really knowing how I'm even going to get over it. And that is when I think God can get to the bottom of our prideful selves. Because until we get to that spot of emotional numbness, we have pride covering us up and justifying why we don't have to do anything, why we don't have to change, why it's the other person's fault. And so he has to allow circumstances and people in our lives to get us to that place of utterly being numb, being flat on our back, practically ready to look up and say, okay, show me what's wrong with me, change me. And that what that does is it takes our focus off of the other person and we're looking at us, looking inward. What was it that enabled Isaiah to see the visions that God gave him? He was willing and he was able. He was humble. Because I think it somewhere, I'm not, because I haven't read all of it, but wasn't he before God, and God said, I'm going to send you, and he says, oh, I can't even speak, I'm not worthy, and the angels came down and touched his mouth with coal to set his mouth on fire, to set him on fire for God. Chapter 6, there you go. You can read about it in chapter 6 of Isaiah. I found out when searching, I love the internet, it is just an awesome search tool, I just love it. Isaiah was of noble descent, I found out. He was not just some lowly guy just kind of hanging out. He was of noble descent. And his turning point was his call to prophecy. And he at that time was committed, fully committed, not just partially committed, not just I'm only going to do it on Sunday, but he was fully 100% committed to the idea that God was the author and guide of human history, and that all nations were mere instrument in his hands, and they must serve him by establishing the rule of justice, righteousness, and peace. This would be achieved only in the end of days when all nations would worship the God of Israel and he would teach them his ways. And I think that is true for all of us, that we need to have full commitment to the idea that God is the author and guide of all human history, of everything that happens. Exactly. He allows certain things to happen in our lives because of our choices, because we're stubborn, because we're prideful, because we don't want to listen to what he has to say. And just like we as parents, sometimes when our kids are not listening to our wisdom, we have to back up. Okay, that's what you think you need to do. Then I'm going to let you go ahead and walk that path. And I still love you. And that's what God does with us. He allows us to walk the paths we choose to let us get to the point where we will finally say, okay, God, you got to be the director because I can't do it anymore. There's another site, a Jewish history site, and it said that Isaiah was a member of the royal family, so they also agree with that. And he brought up the message of true faith in one God and the holiness of God at a time when idolatry seemed to be taking a hold of Judah. Wow. Sounds like America to me. There's a lot of idolatry in this nation, throughout this entire world. If we're going to walk in our call, if you are called to be a prophet, and if you're going to fully walk into that, then you have to have the 100% belief in one God and trust that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And you have to be able to speak the truth . And the truth only comes from the Word. You've got to get this in you. I'm sorry, but I think I feel like a broken record because I'm always talking about this Word because it is so, so important. I just love it. It just like sets me on fire. I just get so energized when I read it. Verse 2. He's talking about, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. So God is saying to the entire universe, the heaven and the earth, that he's nourished and taken care of. He's talking about Judah. He's talking about his people. I've nourished them. I've taken care of them. How many of us as parents have taken care of our kids and only to have them turn around and be so ungrateful? And that's what he's talking about here, is that the nation was turning against him. God said, hey, I took care of you, and yet you rebel against me. He wants to give us all of our heart's desires, but he wants to do it within the confines of his will. His heart's desire for us is so much greater than our own. We are limited by what we see. And so we may think this is going to be good for us, or we want whatever, maybe this new car or something. But God knows what truly is going to be beneficial. And if I just say, okay, well, I really, really, really want a new car, and I just go out on my own and I get it, and that's not what really God wanted for me, then that's not going to edify my life. I will have problems. I will have struggles. I have to take everything, even the minor decisions such as a car, to God and ask him, what do you want me to do here? And I have to be sure that I'm asking him without an idol in my heart, because that will cloud what I hear from God. And that's all when I need to be able to trust spiritual leaders, the authorities that God has placed over me. Look at verse 3. I like this one. The ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know my people. Does not consider. Even the dumbest of animals, the oxen and the donkey, they know who their master is. They know where they're going to get fed. And we as people do not even trust in God's care of what's happening. Right now, I have two daughters. One just got married, and now another one. We're now in the process of planning another wedding. And she's a real stressor about money. And she's really worried about where are we going to get the money to pay for this wedding. And I keep telling you, God will provide it. We just need to trust whatever he's telling us and not get stressed out about it. And that's, we need to be like the ox and the donkey. We need to know that God is going to take care of us. And we need to trust that. He knows the best. in all situations. Psalm 84:11. You don't have to go here, but I'll read it. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun." And when I thought about that, the Lord being a sun, what is that? Warmth, life-giving, light. And God is a shield. He's a protector. He's strength. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. So He will give grace and glory. That means He will give the way out. Whatever situation, He will give the way that His purposes will be realized, that His glory will be seen. And that ultimately will result in our good. We sometimes don't think so. How many people have heard or had people say to you, being a Christian is no fun? I don't want to be a Christian because I can't have any fun. That's not true, because God says that He will give grace and He will give glory. He will give fun. He will make life fun. We just have to rest in that. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will He uphold from us. He will uphold the bad things. If we are told, can you imagine walking like Enoch, continually walking with God, and nothing bad coming into your life because all you're doing is focusing on God. And it's like you're so focused on God that whatever bad things are coming just kind of bounce off of you. They don't affect you because your focus is on God. The heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah 17:9, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We need to trust that God is going to take care of us. We need to seek heaven. We need to set our minds on heaven. We need to put on love. We need to allow God to change us. We need Him to take off those layers. We need to be willing to do that. We need to be willing to be open and vulnerable and transparent. And we need to be obedient. We need to ask God, what is in my heart that is keeping me from realizing Your will in my life? When we have quiet time, I don't know if you're going to choose some music to put on or if it's just going to be quiet. I'll let Pastor Harvey decide that one. When we have some quiet time, think about that and ask God specifically. Just ask Him that one question. What is in my heart that keeps me from realizing Your glory in my life? We don't want the whole bag of stuff that's wrong with us. We don't want that, because that would be too much for us. So ask Him just for the one thing that He needs to reveal to you, and then ask Him for the obedience to walk that out, whatever it is. For me, it's to love in adversity, to be able to love people when they're being offensive towards me or when they have hurt me. I don't know what it is for you, but you need to get with God and you need to ask Him. And so that's what I'm asking you to do. Ask Him for yourself. What is it that keeps me from realizing Your glory in my life? And be ready to walk that out. Lord, thank You for Your revelation. Thank You that You are so merciful and so kind and so patient with us. As we spend a few moments with You, Lord, in quietness, being still before You, not necessarily quiet in sound, but just being still, I ask You right now, Father, to still, quiet our minds, quiet our hearts, quiet everything in us, and let us be open. Let us be ready to receive the word You have. What is it, Lord, that keeps me from seeing Your glory? I invite you, Holy Spirit, to stir up in each one of us what we need to do in order to live life abundantly. The enemy comes as a thief. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. And that's not what we want. We want life abundant that only comes through Jesus Christ. And it's in His name I pray and ask you, Lord, to give us revelation and wisdom. Amen.